Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you on our Parents' Night for the Children's Bright Hours. We want to welcome you all to the meeting. We're glad to see each one, all the children and young people, all the family and friends that have gathered with us tonight as well. The Saviour said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And it says he took them up in his arms and he put his hands upon them and he blessed them. And that's our prayer for all of these children and young people, that they know the blessing of the Lord. He'll put his hand on them and especially give to them the blessing of his salvation, the joy of sins forgiven. We're going to sing 692 as we begin the service tonight. The words are on the screens. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." So 692, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Face in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do approach your throne, glad of the opportunity that we have to speak to thee. We thank, Father, of the matchless privilege that you have granted to us, that we're able to draw nigh and talk to thee as children would to their father. We ask thee, Father, that you'll teach us to pray. We recognize our need and our weakness. We pray that the Spirit of God might come down upon us. We ask for his fullness, for his power tonight. We want to thank you for this meeting. We come to give the meeting into your hands. We pray that we'll know the Lord is here. We pray, Father, from the beginning and in every part of the meeting, will be conscious of the Lord's presence, that the Lord is amongst us. We want, Father, to know that your house tonight is filled with your presence and filled with your glory. We want to ask that you'll guide us through the meeting. We think of every part of this special service. We remember all the preparations that have been made. We think of the practices. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll give help tonight. We know that without thee we can do nothing. We need the Lord to come and be with us. We pray that you'll prosper, Father, the meeting. Give help to the children and young people as they participate. We thank you, Father, for all the meetings held right throughout the year, both here at the church and down in the band hall in Killalea. Thank you for all our leaders and the workers all involved in those works. We thank you for their dedication, their love for the children. We thank you, Father, for their faithfulness in teaching to them the Word of God, gathering in the boys and girls. We ask, Lord, that their prayers tonight might be answered, even as the children will participate in this service. We want to pray that the leaders will be encouraged. We pray their hearts will be blessed. We want to ask, Father, that they would see the desires of their heart, that all of these children would come to faith, come to Christ, come to the Saviour early in life. Remember that your word says that these little ones can believe in thee. We're not to offend one of these little ones that believe in thee. So Lord, our prayer is, save all of these children. Bring them to Christ. We pray that early in life they'll know the knowledge, the joy of sins forgiven. And Lord, even more than that, we would pray that you'll take them up and use them right throughout their lives. We would pray, Father, that they would remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and then that you would lead them in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake. Put your hand, Father, upon all of these children. Keep them from the evil of the day in which we live. We remember those words that we quoted at the beginning of this meeting of the Saviour. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. Lord, bless these children and young people tonight. Bless all the family and friends that have gathered as well. But Lord, bless these children, we pray, right through their lives. Bless them most of all with thy salvation. We commit the meeting, Father, just into your hands this evening. We need thee to come and guide us. We need thee to help us. Father, give the right thoughts. Give the right words. The scriptures teach us how forcible are right words. There's times, Father, we struggle just for the right thing to say, the right words to use. So we ask, give the right words tonight. We thank you for our sister, Miss Logan, that has come into our midst to speak. We pray that you'll be with her. We pray, Father, that she would especially know the help of God. We pray that you'll put your hand upon her. We thank you for her call into the work of the gospel. We thank you for her obedience to that call, her dedication of her life to bringing the gospel to the children and to the young people. Lord, encourage her tonight. We pray that you'll use her. We think of the busyness of her schedule at this time of the year. So many meetings to travel to and engage in. Give her the help of God. We pray that you'll give her journeying mercies. And Lord, our prayer is that you would make her a channel of blessing, even in our midst tonight. Remember all that are gathered, every family of the church, those that can't be here because of ill health and weakness. Especially, Father, we pray be near to them. And we commit this week of the church into your hands, all the meetings that will take place. O God, come and be with us. We ask that it will be evident that God is blessing this work. And we pray especially for the meeting on Wednesday night, that the hand of God might be evident, the blessing of God will be known, and especially, Father, the united guidance of God might be experienced. Answer our prayers and abide with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well done. So we're delighted to see all that are gathered with us tonight. We want to thank all of the children and young people for coming to the meetings through the winter time, both here at the church and down in the band hall in Killalea. We want you to know that we appreciate that. It's a great encouragement to us. We thank you all for taking the time to come to this special parents' night tonight. So we're looking forward to you taking part. We know that each meeting has prepared a little program. So we're going to ask the church meeting if they would come first, come forward now and bring your program to us, please.
Who through God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Our memory verses and Bible lessons show us how Moses trusted God's promises, which revealed a perfect plan for the children of Israel to be set free from an evil ruler. Tonight we want to share some of God's central promises so we can be set free from sin.
Sin is a cruel master, but God can guide and protect. Only God has the power to set us free from sin. God spared Moses' life when he was placed in a basket on the river to escape Pharaoh's sinful plan against all children aged 2 and under.
God's way is perfect and can be found through Jesus Christ. God's call to Moses to deliver his perfect plan to the children of Israel, seeing them set free from slavery in Egypt. The central truth is that God is more powerful than anything. When you ask God to save you, then he will set you free from the control of sin.
Never feel that you're on your own now. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will be with you through the good times and the bad times. He will provide you all you need, just as he done with Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness by sending just enough manna from heaven every day.
How can I be saved? By praying and truly saying sorry to God for your sin and believing that Jesus died for your sin on the cross. Then you will be set free from sin and be saved, and then go to heaven for all eternity.
To learn from the life of Moses, so many gospel truths that we can learn from his life. Moses, very like the Saviour, great picture, great type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross works. The Lord bless you all for your participation in the meeting tonight. Remember that great truth that you sang about at the end. There's just one way to get to heaven. The Lord Jesus is the only way you need to have your trust in him for salvation. So we're going to have the Killalea meeting. We'll ask them if they will come forward and bring to us the programme that they've prepared for the service tonight, please.
This year we have been learning about Joseph. We learned that even when things are difficult, God is always with us and has a plan for each one of us. Joseph had to face many difficulties. Joseph had many difficulties to face, but he could hold on to the truth that in every situation, God is in control and will help his children every day.
We also discovered how Paul became a missionary and spread the good news of Jesus throughout Europe and Asia. Paul wrote many books of the Bible, including Romans. From Romans we have learned a group of verses called the Roman Road, which shows us the road to heaven.
For the wind. night we learned about where Dr. Bill was very little.
Dr. Bill Wood served God as a medical doctor in the Amazon. He was used greatly as he travelled through the Amazon treating people with leprosy and telling them about the Lord Jesus. Mary Slessor spent many years in Africa seeking to reach different tribes and rescued many children and twin babies. She worked with the British government to help the tribes develop ways of providing for their families and use many opportunities with the unreached tribes to show them God's love and the way of salvation.
Program tonight. That was really great. We were blessed. And again, everybody that took part did very well indeed. We've had an excellent program from both meetings tonight. We want to thank them sincerely. We know all the time and work that goes into preparing the programs by the leaders, and we want to thank them as well. We know that some of the children can't be here tonight from both the meetings because of other circumstances. So we do appreciate all that have been able to come along. We're glad to see you, and you've been a great blessing to us. We want to give all the children a wee round of applause just to express our appreciation. We're thankful for your participation. It's been a real blessing to us all. We take the opportunity just to welcome everyone along to the service tonight. We have a good number of visitors along for the Parents' Night. We're especially glad of your presence. It means a lot to us, and we know it means much more to the children and the young people that you have come along just to see them take part in the service tonight. So we want to acknowledge that and thank you for taking the time to be here. We trust that the whole meeting will be a blessing to your heart. We want to thank you as well for sending the children along to the meetings right throughout the winter. From the meetings began way back in the early part of September, your support and your encouragement to the children to come along to the meetings is very important. It's a vital part of our children's work in children's meetings. We need your help and support, and we want to thank you sincerely for that. We welcome all the visitors, and we want to welcome those that are out from the congregation, maybe that we haven't seen for some time because of circumstances and ill health. We're glad to see our brother Jim McAree. Jim had some treatment in recent weeks, so we're glad that he's well enough and strong enough to be out with us. We're glad to see Ruth out as well. She's had some little health issues over the last few weeks also, so we're encouraged by their presence with us tonight. There's a number in the congregation not well. We have mentioned those in previous meetings. Do keep those in your prayers. We want to welcome as well those that are watching the service on the live stream of the meeting. We make the visitors aware that we have a live stream of these services. So any Lord's Day, morning or evening, you would be able to watch our services from your own home. We want to encourage you to come out to church. That's very important. But if you're not well, if circumstances mean that you have to stay at home, you would be able to watch both the morning and the evening service here. Just to let you all know, there will be prizes given out at the close of the service, just to recognise, to encourage the young people for their attendance. And there's some special prizes for those that have made a special impact, those that have made a significant impact upon the meetings through the winter months. There's also supper afterwards for everyone. We thank the ladies for preparing the food for us. You go through the door just beside the pulpit and down the stairs into the hall below. Just to let the children know that the bright hour here will meet at the usual time on Tuesday night at 6:45. You're having a games night, and then there will be a message brought to conclusion just at that time. Your outing will take place the following Tuesday night, so that's Tuesday the 4th of April. The Killalea bright hour, you're having your outing this coming Tuesday night. You're going to Gulliver's here at the Leisure Centre and then to the Kentucky Fried Chicken for some food afterwards. You're leaving Killalea at 6:10, so keep that in mind. You don't want to be left behind. Come in good time, 6:10 leaving, and just so that the parents know, they expect to be back again in Killalea by 8:15. Just to remind our members, please keep in mind the congregational meeting on Wednesday night at 8:00, be held here in the main church. It's an election to elect some new elders and to re-elect the church committee. I stress to you that there is no postal votes. Remember, you must be present to vote at the meeting. So we do want to encourage a good turnout of our communicant members. Remember, the vote will be conducted by the Reverend Andrew Patterson. Mr. Patterson is the minister of our neighbouring congregation in Market Hill. He and two of his elders will be present to conduct the votes for us. Mr. Patterson will announce the instructions, all the guidance that is needed for carrying out the votes in the meeting just before the votes themselves actually take place. Just to remind the members that the final voting lists have been posted. They're on the notice board in the porch of the church. Remember that the two lists are not exactly the same, so please check the lists. The men especially that are eligible for election to office, make sure that your name is where it should be on those lists, whether it's on or off, as you have requested, as the case may be. If there's any mistakes in those voting lists that are posted, please speak to me about that as soon as possible. And just to emphasise to the members the importance of taking note today before you leave of the names that are still remaining on those lists, so that you can pray over those names, pray for the Lord's guidance over the next few days in advance and preparation for the meeting itself. So we encourage all of the congregation to be in prayer for the Lord's hand to be upon the vote. And we remind you again, just that wee practical matter, bring a pen with you, or maybe bring two in case the first one you bring doesn't work. It would help us, it would be quite a challenge to provide pens for all that might be present. Remember, Friday night, the Youth Fellowship, the young people are going over to Airtastic, to the trampoline park at Craigavon. It's a recreation night for the young people, and they're meeting on Friday night down in the Mall at 6:00. Just for the elders, to remind you too that the presbytery is meeting this coming Friday night. The April meeting has been brought forward because it fell on Good Friday. So it will be held this coming Friday night at 8:00 in the Market Hill congregation, again our neighbouring church just up the road. The service is next Lord's Day, the 2nd of April, 10:40 the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. There is communion, the Lord's table, immediately after the morning service, and then 6:30 in the evening is the gospel meeting. I hope to be the preacher at both of those meetings, and do please remember the half hour of prayer before both services. Our outreach recommences on Tuesday the 4th of April. That's the monthly outreach through the summer months. They'll be meeting at the church at 7:30. They're planning to do the areas round about the church building that evening. We want to encourage you to get involved in the outreach team. There has been a good number that has gone out in previous years. We encourage you to continue on the outreach team, but we want as well to invite others to come and get involved in that work. If you're interested in the work of the outreach team, speak to Mr. Billy McCrum about that as soon as possible. We had a deputation meeting on Wednesday night past to present for us the outreach work that's done at the Irish Ploughing Championships every year down south. So we looked at an offering to help with the expenses of that outreach. So far that offering has come to £1,057.84. It was a very good meeting, a very good offering. We thank you sincerely. Remember that you can still add to that offering if you'd like to do that. If you haven't had opportunity yet, see one of the treasurers about that as soon as possible. Please remember the Murray family from our Londonderry congregation. That's the family of the Reverend Thomas Murray and Mr. John Murray, the Reverend Andrew Murray. Their father, Mr. Ernest Murray, passed away, and the funeral service is in the Londonderry church tomorrow at 12:30. As a congregation, we want to sympathise with the Murray family circle, and we assure them of our prayers for the Lord's comfort and presence for the days that lie ahead. We're going to sing together some verses of another hymn. It's the hymn 686, Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam, to shine for him each day, in every way try to please him, at home, at school, at play. We're going to leave out the second verse. We'll sing 1, 3 and 4 of 686, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Tonight to have Miss Christina Logan with us as our guest speaker. Christina is from our Resharkin Church in County Antrim, and she's a children's evangelist with our mission board, working with boys and girls and young people across the province. She has been with us before, and she did the Holiday Bible Club down in Killalea a few years ago. Some of you maybe remember seeing Christina on the FPC Kids broadcast that went out over the lockdown time. So we're delighted to have Christina with us. She has a very busy schedule just at the moment, with so many children's meetings coming to an end and parents' nights of this nature taking place in various churches. So we're glad that she's been able to fit us in Armagh and come along tonight. And we're going to ask her to come and to speak to us just now, please.
Well done to you all. You did really, really well, and I'm very impressed with everything that you said and all your singing and all the memory verses that you did. I really enjoyed it, and I know all your mums and dads enjoyed it too, and everybody here tonight. And so it's lovely to be here and to come and to hear all you take part. And I do hope tonight as we come to our Bible lesson for tonight that you'll enjoy it too as we come and as we look at someone from the Bible who the kids and Kelly Leigh is going to know all about because you have been doing them, as I heard. But that's good, because then you'll be able to answer all of my questions. But I do hope tonight, as we come tonight, and as you can see up on the wall, we're going to be looking at the phrase tonight from the Bible. There's a little phrase in the Bible where we read that all things work together for good. And we're going to come to see what that means, and we're going to come and hear about a man from the Bible tonight that teaches us that all things, even the good things and the bad things, work together for good. But before we do any of that, we're going to come and pray first. It's important that we come and we ask God to give us help tonight, help to understand and help to listen. So we're all going to do our ABC of prayer. Some of you know this already. Do you know the ABC of prayer? Yes? Okay, we'll go for it. A, what do? We fold our... Anybody know? Fold our arms. Yes, the arms fold it. All right. Eh? And all the mums and dads, their arms fold it too. Good job. B, we're going to bow our heads. Good job. Means we're not going to look up the ceiling or look all around us. We're going to keep our heads bowed. And C, we're going to close our eyes. And what else do we close to? Our mouth. That's the important one. Close our eyes and our mouth as they come. And can somebody put their hand up and tell me who we're coming to pray to? Who do we come when we pray to? We just pray into the sky here. We pray into anybody down at the back? God, yes, we're coming to pray to God. So if everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed, arms folded, we'll come and pray unto God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for bringing us here tonight to our man. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the boys and girls who've come and taken part. We thank Thee, Lord, for giving them help and, Lord, even for teaching us even the gospel through what the boys and girls even said to us tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the mums and dads and the grannies and grandads and aunts and uncles, Lord, everyone else, Lord, here tonight as well. And we pray as we come and as we look at our Bible lesson tonight, Lord, that Thou would give us help, help us to realise that all things do work together for good. And Lord, that Thou would be with us and give us help. For Him's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I have been shopping. Not today. I went shopping a couple of days ago. And I brought, you might have noticed, wee bag. Some of you over here might have noticed it. I brought my bag of shopping with me tonight. Because I am going to make something from all my ingredients I've got in my bag. And I want you to guess, before I bring them all out, I want you to guess what I'm going to make. Okay, now I'll bring one thing out first of all, and you can have a wee think. So, the first thing I've got with me is this. Anybody know these are?
Eggs.
Yes, now, no eggs in my egg box, because I know, but at me, I would have dropped them everywhere, and I would have gotten big trouble with the cleaner if I had dropped eggs all over the floor. So I have no eggs in my egg box. Who here likes eggs? Does anybody like having eaten eggs? Yes, if you had come to my house this morning, you would have got yourself 2 boiled eggs. Every Sunday morning, we have boiled eggs in our house before we go to church, gets us ready for the day. And so we are big egg people in our house. So we've got eggs. All right, so you can think of what can you make with eggs. All right, well, we'll bring out something else. All right, so we've got our eggs. And we have got, let me see what else I've got in here. Oh, we know what this is. Flour. This is flour. Now, not the lovely flowers that you get grown out in your garden. This is the flour that you make things with. Okay. So, we've got eggs. We've got flour. Anyone have a try, have a wee go at what we're making? Yeah? Not pancakes, but you're close. All right. You're close. We'll bring out something more. All right. So, we've got eggs. We've got flour. Oh, this one's important. We've got this. This is? Yes?
Butter.
This is butter. Now, Again, if you come to my house, you'll find a lot of this. My daddy's a dairy farmer. We are big butter people. And if you're going to buy any butter, buy Ballyrasheen butter. That's where my daddy's milk goes to, all right? So support your local dairy farmers and buy Ballyrasheen butter. So we've got eggs, we've got flour, we've got butter. What can we make in? It's not pancakes, but the word is in the word pancakes. Yeah? Cake. Yes, we're going to make some cake. All right. So we've got eggs, we've got butter, we've got flour. What else do we need for our cake? Oh, this is an important one. Anybody, this is? Anybody know? Can you see? Can you see? Do you know what this is? What is it? You shout it out. Baking soda, yeah. Baking soda or baking powder. Now, I am not a baker. I'm going to put this out here. I cannot bake, all right? But I've been told this is what you need for a good cake. You need some baking powder. It makes the cakes lovely and rise, all right? So we've got eggs, we've got flour, we've got butter, we've got baking powder, and now here comes the good stuff. You're going to see what kind of cake I'm going to make in a minute. Are you ready? What kind of cake am I going to be making? Yes? Chocolate cake. So I've told you need drinking chocolate. Cadbury's the best one to pour into your batter mix to make it nice and chocolatey. And then when we put all these together and bake it up, what do we need to put on top of it? Some. I mean, this is. You might not even eat this with cake. You might just eat it all by itself. Yeah? Icing. Yeah, and this is the good stuff. This is the good chocolate icing that you get. So when you put all of these things together, what do you get? Do you think I brought a chocolate cake with me? Yeah, of course I did, because I told you I can't bake. So I went and bought myself a chocolate cake. All right, so a nice chocolate cake. So I'm going to eat this on the way home, so I am. It's very exciting. Lovely chocolate cake. Now, you might be saying, Shana, why did you bring all of these things with me tonight? Well, what are we looking at tonight? All things work together for good. Now, boys and girls, if you were to sit down and eat each one of those ingredients by themselves, some of them you couldn't eat. You think about it. If you were to take some of these eggs and eat them raw, who would like to do that? No, nobody would. Nobody. I don't think so. They're not very nice on their own. But when you put them with flour and butter and chocolate, what does it make? A really lovely, yeah? Chocolate cake. It might be bad on itself. You might not like it by itself. But when you put it with the other good stuff, you get a lovely chocolate cake. The same with this stuff, this baking powder. It's horrible. It's horrible. If you try to eat that by itself, it is horrible. But it's important. It's necessary. But when you put it with all the other ingredients in my bag tonight, you get a what? You get a lovely, good, what'd you get? Chocolate cake. Do you see what I'm getting at, boys and girls? There might be bad ingredients, and call them bad ingredients. The ingredients we don't really like by themselves. There's bad ingredients and there's good ingredients. The chocolate and all the different types of things. The butter, I guess you call a nice ingredient too. All these things together. The good and the bad, they come together to make something really, yeah, cake. Something really lovely, really delicious. You know, boys and girls, tonight as we're thinking about all things work together for good, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about this. And that verse is in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says there, and we know that all things, not just the good things, not just the bad things, but all things, all of the ingredients in the cake, not just the good, not just the bad, has to be all there. Everything in our lives, all things work together for, what's that word beginning with G? It's an important word tonight, yes? Good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And boys and girls, I hope to show you tonight, hopefully by our wee cake that we've got with us, and by this verse and by the person we're going to look at tonight, that it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. And you know, we sometimes wish that everything that happened in our life was good, that everything was always good all the time. We wish that everything was great and nothing bad ever happened. But sometimes bad things do happen. Things happen that upset us. Things happen that make us worried. Things happen when we wonder, why did God allow that to happen? But this verse teaches us that it doesn't matter if it's good, doesn't matter if it's bad, especially if it's bad things. Everything in our life works together for good. But there's an important little phrase in this verse, and it's that wee bit after, to them who love God. Boys and girls, this verse is only for people who are what? Who, what do we call, what's another word we call for people who love God? People who are, yeah? Christians. this is only for people who are Christians. We're going to come to that in a wee minute or two. But as Christians, if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, you can know too that everything in your life is working together, just like all of these ingredients, the good and the bad, are working together for good. And God has a plan for all of these things. And like I said, we're going to be looking at a man tonight in the Bible who really shows this. And this man is a young fella. And anybody here got any brothers or sisters? Have you got any brothers or sisters? Yes. I have 3 older sisters. Oh, I have quite a lot. But this young fella here, he had 11 brothers. Anybody here got 11 brothers? I don't think so. You're poor mummies if you do. 11 brothers. 10 of them were older. And he had these 10 older brothers. And sadly, boys and girls, we are told that their brothers hated him. They hated him. Now, I know we don't sometimes get on with our brothers and sisters that well, but we still love them no matter what happens. But we are told that these brothers, they hated their brother. His name was Joseph. And Joseph's brothers hated him. They hated him so much. And the reason they hated him was because their dad, a man called Jacob, we're told he did something that he shouldn't have done. We are told that he loved Joseph more than he loved the rest of his children. Now, Jacob shouldn't have done that. He should have loved all his children the same. But he had a special soft place in his heart for Jacob, or for Joseph. But because of that, because he loved Joseph so much, more than the rest of his sons, Joseph's brothers, they did. Especially his 10 older brothers, they hated him. You know, we're told so much that they hated him so much that one day Jacob had sent Joseph to go out and to see his brothers. And when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they said among themselves, they were like, here comes the dreamer. Joseph was one who had lots of dreams. And they said to themselves, here comes the dreamer. And they were like, why don't we kill him? Imagine that, boys and girls. Imagine saying that about your brother or your sister. But this was how much Joseph's brothers hated him. Now, one of the brothers, he was quite wise. He said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just put him away somewhere to begin with, and then we'll figure out what to do with him. And so we're told that they threw Joseph into a well. Now, this wasn't just like a wee, oh, we'll just push you down in. No, they threw him down in. This was a deep, deep well, filled. There was no water in it, but it was one that would have been filled with water. And there Joseph was, down in that deep, deep well. And I'm sure he wondered what was going to happen to him. You know, boys and girls, Joseph was one who believed in God. He loved God. I know maybe the question went through Joseph's mind, well, why did God allow this to happen? And we could ask that question, why did God allow this to happen to Joseph? God could very easily have stepped in and made sure his brothers didn't do this. That would have been very easy for God to do. But God didn't step in. God didn't step in and stop his brothers. And we can ask that question, why? Why did God allow this to happen? But boys and girls, as we're going to learn tonight, all things, the good and the bad, work together for, what's that word beginning with G? What is it? Good. All things work together for good. And this was going to work out for good, even though it might seem like it's not going to, but it will. You know, boys and girls, as Joseph was down there in the well, God made it that a group of people passed by. And this group of people were called the Ishmaelites. And they were traders. They bought and sold things. And sadly, they bought and sold people as well. And we are told that the brothers came up with a great idea. You know what? We'll make some money out of Joseph. We'll sell him. We'll sell him to this group of people. And then he'll be out of our hair, out of our life forever. We'll not have to worry about him ever again. And so they brought Joseph up out of the well. And he was sold to this group of traders. And Joseph was taken off. And the brothers thought, we'll never have to see him ever again. But what about his dad back at home? Well, his brothers did something terrible again. We're told that Joseph had a coat that Jacob gave to him. And we're told they took this coat, they covered this coat in blood, they took it back to Jacob. And they said to Jacob, Jacob, is this Joseph's coat? And Jacob was like, yes, it is. And when Jacob saw the blood on it, Jacob and his brothers made it seem as if Joseph had died. And so, boys and girls, again, we ask that question, why did God allow this to happen? But God was working everything together for good. But back to Joseph. He was sold to these Ishmaelites. He was taken to a place called Egypt. Now, boys and girls, Joseph had been taken from his home, from his brothers, from his dad, who he loved so much, from everything and everyone he knew and loved. And he was taken to a completely different country where he probably couldn't speak the language. He didn't know what anybody was doing. He didn't know what was happening to himself. And now he was being bought and sold, even though he was a person. He was being bought and sold. And we're told that Joseph was sold to a man called Potiphar. And again, we can ask that question, why did God allow that to happen? God could have allowed Joseph to escape. He could have made it so Joseph could escape the people he was with. He could run back home. God could have allowed any of that to happen. It wasn't out of God's control to do it. And we might ask, why? But what was God doing? God was working everything together for good. For good. And Joseph was sold to this man called Potiphar. And after a wee while, Potiphar, he really began to like Joseph. Joseph, he was honest, he was trustworthy, he was true. He always did the best that he could because Joseph, even though he wasn't a slave, really, he wanted to do everything he could to please God. So he lived his life the best that he could. And he tried his best. And Potiphar really began to respect Joseph. And Joseph's life was just beginning to sort of turn around. Good things were starting to happen to Joseph when suddenly something bad happened again. We're told that Joseph got accused of doing something that he didn't do. Potiphar's wife accused him of doing something terrible that he had never done. But Potiphar, well, he believed his wife over Joseph. And we are told that poor Joseph was thrown into, where do you go if you do something really bad? Where might you go? Why in the back? To prison? Yeah, he was taken and thrown into prison. Even though he had done nothing wrong. And again, we can ask the question, well, why did God allow this to happen? God could have made sure that the truth, the real truth came out and that Potiphar believed Joseph. But no, God allowed all this to happen because God was working everything together for good. These are getting it. Good. But while Joseph was in prison, he met two people. Anybody know the two people that he met, their jobs that they had? Go for it. The baker and the Oh, it's a hard one. It's a strange sort of job. Anybody else know? You did well with the baker, the something and the something? Yeah? Well, or maybe it was a burglar. Yes, you maybe did find a burglar in prison, but that's not the one we're thinking about. Go for it again down the back. Do you know? Oh, we'll go somebody else. Go for it. No, go for it. I'll just type. The butler. These are all so close. The butler and the baker. And Joseph met these two men, the butler and the baker. And they had both worked under pretty much the king of Egypt, who's a guy called Pharaoh. And these two guys been put into prison. And these two men had dreams. Again, dreams in our story tonight. And these two men had very strange dreams. And they were talking about it one day. And they were telling Joseph, I know God gave Joseph the ability to say what their dreams meant. And the dreams meant that for the butler, he was soon going to get free to go back to work with Pharaoh. But sadly for the baker, he was going to be killed for whatever crime he had done. But you know, again, we can ask, well, why did God allow Joseph to meet the butler and the baker? But God was working. He was working away in the background because the butler got free. But just before the butler left to go back to Pharaoh, Joseph said to the butler, tell Pharaoh about me. You tell him all about me, that I don't deserve to be in here. I've done nothing wrong. You remember to tell him about me. And the butler was like, yes, of course, I'll remember. But guess what? What do you think happened? Did the butler remember? No. For 2 years, he forgot. Wasn't just a couple of days or a couple of weeks. 2 whole years went by. And the butler completely forgot about Joseph. Never once mentioned him to Pharaoh. And again, we could ask that question, why did God allow the butler to forget? God could very easily have put it into the mind of the butler to say to Pharaoh, but what was God doing? God was working away in the background, working everything together for good. Good job. But after 2 years, the butler remembered because Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh was telling the butler about his dream, and the butler was like, oh, I know a man in prison. I met a man in prison who told me what my dream meant. And Pharaoh was like, well, bring him out. I want to hear what he has to say. And so Joseph was brought out of prison. We are told that God again allowed Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And the dream was that there was going to be 7 years where there's going to be so much food in the land of Egypt But then there was going to be 7 years of famine. There was not going to be any food in Egypt. And God had sent this dream to Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would know to prepare for those 7 years of famine. And guess who Pharaoh got to prepare for those 7 years of famine? Who do you think Pharaoh picked to be the one to make sure all the food was coming in and to make sure everybody would have enough to eat? Yeah? Joseph. Boys and girls, God was now starting to turn things around for good. Joseph became pretty much like the prime minister of the land, the second in command. We are told that he spent those 7 years gathering up all the food that he could. He was prepared, he was ready for those 7 years where there's going to be no food. And God made Joseph to be up there, one of the top officials in the land, and people respected Joseph, and people listened to what Joseph had to say. And God, he was turning things around for good. He was working everything together for good. But boys and girls, them 7 years of plenty passed, and we're nearly getting there. We're doing a very, very quick overlap, the whole thing of Joseph's night, but we're getting there. But then the 7 years of famine came. But the famine wasn't only in Egypt, it was all over. All over as well. Where, who were the group of men that we met at the very start tonight? Joseph's who? Joseph, yes? His brothers. There was famine where his brothers were. And his brothers had no food for their families. And we are told that Jacob was still alive. Joseph's dad was still alive. And Jacob said, I've heard that there's food in Egypt. So guess who ended up going to Egypt? His?
Dad.
Not his dad. His? Yeah? Brothers. They went to Egypt. And guess who they met in Egypt? That person they thought had been dead long, long ago. Person probably had only crossed their minds a few times. Yeah? Who did they meet? His brother, Joseph. They met Joseph there in Egypt. Now, they didn't know it was Joseph. Joseph had changed completely. He spoke the language. He looked like an Egyptian. He would have done all the different things that they would have done. And his brothers didn't know who he was. But Joseph knew them. And boys and girls, when Joseph saw his brothers, his heart was broken. His heart was broken when he remembered everything they'd done. But maybe not for the reason that you think. His heart wasn't broken because he blamed them. His heart was broken because of how much they had lost. Of everything that had happened between them. And boys and girls, we are told that after a whole big old story that we can't go into tonight, but after a little while, what do you think Joseph told his brothers? What do you think he told them? Yeah, go for it. Down the back. Yeah, that he was their brother. He finally told them that he was their brother. Now, boys and girls, I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a minute, right? Imagine you were Joseph. Your 10 older brothers many, many years ago had tried to kill you, had sold you off to a group of people you didn't know, had sent you to a completely different land, and then all these years later, think of all the hardships you've been through. You were in prison, you got accused of doing something you didn't do, all because your brothers sold you. All goes back to your brothers. And they came. What would you have done? Would you have forgiven them? Be honest. Be very honest. If your brothers had come and they had said, and you realized who they were, and you remembered all the things they had done, would you have forgiven them? Be honest. Would you? Would you? Do you think so? You would. Oh, well, you're a lot better than I am. I would have struggled. I would have struggled to forgive them for all the things that they had done. But guess what? Do you think Joseph did forgive them? Yes, he did. You see, boys and girls, when Joseph was telling his brothers everything that happened to him, it's pretty amazing when you read down through it, never once does Joseph blame his brothers. If you read down the passage in the Bible, you will read time and time again how Joseph said, God meant for this to happen. God meant for this to happen. God meant for this to happen. God meant for you to sell me to Egypt. God meant for there to be a famine. God meant for all of these things to happen. You see, Joseph realized something. He realized that all things work together for, what's the word? Good. All things work together for good. You think about it, boys and girls. If Joseph hadn't been pushed into the well, if the Ishmaelites hadn't come along, if Joseph hadn't been sold, if Joseph hadn't been put into prison, if Joseph hadn't have met the butler and the beggar, then Joseph would have never met Pharaoh. Joseph would have never been made prime minister. Joseph would never have got enough food gathered up in those 7 years. Joseph would never have had enough food for his brothers to then come to Egypt for his brothers to finally meet him again. And God was working everything together for good. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes in our life, and for adults here tonight as well, sometimes things do not go well, do not go the way we wish they would in our lives. We can have things that we worry about, things that make us scared, things that make us frightened, things that happen and we wonder why. Why has God allowed this to happen to me? Why has God allowed this to happen? Well, you think of Joseph. You think of all the things, and none of us will hopefully ever have to go through the things that Joseph went through. But even in the midst of all the difficulties that Joseph went through, Joseph could honestly say that God meant everything together for good. And you can know that too. Even when it seems like everything's going wrong, you can be sure that God is working. He's making sure that everything in your life is working together for good. You know, boys and girls, as we said at the beginning tonight, that verse is only for people who are saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can't say that God is working everything together in your life for good. You know, boys and girls, Joseph here in this story, especially in the very end of our story, he's a wonderful picture to us about somebody else in the Bible. Someone much greater than Joseph, who the Bible's all about. Anyone want to guess who Joseph is a great, great picture to us about? Yes? Yeah? Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as Joseph forgave his brothers, even though they really didn't deserve it, they had done nothing to deserve forgiveness, in the same way, Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he can forgive our sins, even though we have done nothing to deserve it. The Bible tells us we are all born with sin in our hearts. There's no good in any of us. We have done nothing to deserve to be saved, to be forgiven for our sins. But what did Jesus do for us? What did Jesus do for us so that we can be forgiven our sins? What did he do? Yes? He died, perfect answer. He died on the cross to save sinners. Even though you and I do not deserve it, we've done nothing to deserve to be saved. Yet Jesus, he is willing to forgive us our sins. And he was so willing, he loves us so much that he died. He gave his life for us on the cross so we can be saved. And just in the same way that Joseph forgave his brothers, even though they didn't deserve it, Christ too forgives us for our sins. If we come and we tell him that we are, there's a word beginning with S, a word we should always use if we've done something we know we shouldn't have done. You have to come and say you are, yeah?
Sorry.
Come and tell God you're sorry for your sins, and he will, he must, he will forgive you. One last part, and then I'm done. Who we left out in our story? We've got Joseph and his brothers. Who was the other person we met at the very beginning tonight? His daddy. Do you think they met again? They did. And this is the final piece of God working everything together for good. Because Jacob and Joseph finally met. After all those years, and Jacob was an old, old man. He thought his son, his favourite son, had died many, many, many years ago. Imagine his surprise and joy to find that his son, his Joseph, was still alive. And Jacob was able to come to Egypt to meet Joseph. And Jacob and Joseph, they lived beside each other for the rest of Jacob's life. And God was indeed working everything together. You see, a big full circle. God worked everything together for good, even in Joseph's life, the good and the bad. And it all ended with Jacob meeting Joseph once again and having that family and that relationship with the two of them. So boys and girls, the next time you're making your mummy a lovely cake or your daddy a lovely cake and you're mixing all those ingredients together, the good and the bad, you remember the story of Joseph. You remember our memory verse, or our verse we looked at again tonight. All things work together for good. I hope you remember those six words. Even when you perhaps when you get a little bit older and things really don't go the way you wish, you remember those six words. All things work together for good to them that love God. Boys and girls, thank you so much for listening tonight. I know that was a lot to take in. The whole life of Joseph in about 20 minutes. It was a wee bit, a lot of stuff happening. But I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you remember our lesson tonight about everything in our life. And we can know that all things do work together for good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christina. Isn't that great, boys and girls? Give Christina a wee round of applause. Appreciation. It's been great to have her in the meeting tonight. We appreciate her coming. We've learned so much from the life of Joseph. Remember the important part in that verse, them that love the Lord, that's those that are saved, those that are Christians, who receive Christ as their Saviour. And that's our desire for each one of you, that you be able to say that you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart and with all your soul. And we're looking forward to getting a wee bit of that chocolate cake before Christina goes home tonight. So you remember to say about that after the service is over. So we're going to give out the prizes, boys and girls. Christina's going to give out the prizes to you. We're going to give out the prizes to everybody first. We'll keep all the special prizes just to the end. So we'll do the prizes for the church meeting first of all. So whoever's going to give those out, if they would like to come up. And Christina, if you'll come. So if your name is read, you come up to the platform, and Christina will give out the prizes to you. Louisa Woods. And Alana Woods. Olivia Irwin. Charlotte Irwin. And Sophia Irwin. Good girl. Darcy Gillow. No. Joanna Hatrick. Bethany Hatrick. Samuel Hatrick. Good man. And James Hatrick. Eliana Faulkner. Matilda Nicholson. Tom Livingstone. Ellen Johnson. Jack Johnson. Meme Ivanova. Raya Ivanova. Sorry, Raya. Sorry about that. Lucas Frizzell. Oh. Do you want to come and get it? No? Somebody else? What about Maverick Frizzell? Evie Frizzell? And Peyton Frizzell? Well done. Noah Sims. Isaac Wright Mulligan. Seth Wright Mulligan. Amelia Clark.
Riley Barnes. Okay. Drew Spence. Jacob Ornica. Sorry. Good man. Katie Hurst. Luke Warnock. Okay. Yes, we'll do the others after. Thank you. So we'll do the Killalea prizes, please. Just to emphasize to young people, you can redeem those vouchers online as well. So you don't actually have to go down to the shop in Newcastle. They have a website, so keep that in mind. Just emphasize that for the parents as well, please. Joshua McAree, so these are the prizes for the Killalea children. Lydia McAree. Nathan McAree. Scott Spears. Jamie Spears. Joyce Anderson. Evie Anderson. Ella Haffey. Charlie Gardner. Gracia Gardner. Isaac Gardner. And Martha Rose Gardner. Well done, everybody. Don't realize there's as many here till you start calling them forward. Is that right? So we'll do the special prizes for the church, please. The cups and the shields. Okay. So the senior winner is Bethany Heydrick. Well done, Bethany. And the runner-up, the senior runner-up, is Tom Livingstone. The junior winner is Olivia Irwin. Good girl, Olivia. Good girl, Olivia. And the runner-up, the junior runner-up is Raya Ivanova. And then finally, the Endeavour Shield goes to Ellen Johnson. So just to emphasize, the things that were taken into account in the giving of those prizes is attendance, bringing your Bible, the memory verses, doing the work sheets, the work programs, the colouring sheets and so on. Every week all of those things were taken note of by the leaders, and those are the things that then are decided upon as to who actually gets the prizes and the trophies each year. So I think it's the same, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So the first prize in Killalea goes to Lydia Macquarie. Okay. Second prize goes to Gracia Gardner. Okay. And then the Endeavour Shield down in Killalea goes to Scott Spears. Congratulations to everybody. Thank you to all the leaders. So we round of applause again for all the prizes. Well done. Many congratulations to everybody for doing so well, for your attendance and for all of your participation in the meetings. So we've had a really good time. We're going to sing just two verses of our closing hymn. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Just the first two verses of that hymn. And once we've sung those two verses, we're going to have a wee word of prayer, give thanks for the food, and then we will have the supper. So hopefully these words will be coming up for you very, very soon. There we are. Here they come. So 688, the first two verses, and we're going to stand together as we sing, please. Let's just pray together as we close the meeting. We'll still our hearts and be quiet just for a moment or two. We thank you, Father, for this meeting, for all that are present, for bringing us to the house of God this Saturday. We want to thank you, Father, for each one that has taken part tonight. Thank you for every part of the service, the blessing that it has been as we've heard the children, the young people taking part, and as we've listened to the Word of God. We ask thee, Father, to speak through your word tonight. Speak to every heart. Speak to young and to old alike. And Lord, our prayer is that everyone here will be able to say that they love the Lord, that everyone will be able to say that they're born again of the Spirit and saved by God's grace. We commit all these young people into your keeping for the weeks and months that lie ahead. Watch over them in the summertime. But Lord, our prayer is that even though they may not be at the meetings for some time, that you'll speak on to their hearts by thy Spirit, and even apply the scriptures, the stories and the word of God that they've learned during the winter months. We thank you, Father, for the food that you've provided again so faithfully. Thank you for all the ladies that have labored to prepare the good things. Encourage them and their labors. Bless the food to our needs. And Lord, be with us in our fellowship. And then we ask thee to take us to our homes in safety. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.